I got the Pro, the Golf Pride Pro Align Plus grips.
I hate those.
A month or two ago. I like them. However, when I was first hitting them after they got put on, I was like, oh, this alignment is awesome. Like, my hands are going to be in the same spot every time. And then when I get out on the courses last weekend, it's like, I wasn't even paying attention to where that thing was.
I didn't like it. I got those same things too because on my old clubs. So I'm like, oh, this is sweet. I'm a piece of shit at golf. So I'll get this aligner thing that'll help me.
Yeah.
And then I go to lessons and Lucas is like, move your hands, right? I'm like, well, now the alignment thing is all fucked up.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like, unless you're getting your grips put on and you have your swing perfect and your grip perfect, like where it's going to be forever, the alignments are just pointless.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Helps you develop a bad habit, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I forgot they were even there when I was golfing.
Someone needs to invent a grip. You know, like, you ever get those freebie pencil grips in elementary school and they would be like triangular, they would fit your fingers.
Yeah, they have
those. It's like a training aid.
I need like a full one that's going to have individual finger grooves, spots for my thumbs. They have those?
Yeah.
They do, yeah. They have them on training aid clubs.
Yeah, and you can put them, you can buy those grips and put them on regular clubs.
I would actually.
But it's illegal.
I mean.
The amount of legal shit I'm doing on the course. Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to judge anyone that does it, but they're a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they are. No, also, they're only $10.99, guys. So
that might be great for the driver. Like, just throw one of those on the driver. Like, call it illegal or not. I'll fucking do it if I need to. Because, again, the amount of legal shit I'm doing is like, we couldn't even, I would fill an entire notes page full of it.
Well, speaking of legality, welcome back to the podcast, The Double Bogey Show. We are presented by Nicolay Law and... might be a great question for him. We get Russell on the horn. Like, hey, Russ, let's say we win a scramble tournament.
Yep.
But one of us is using these weird grips and we don't get the tournament winnings money after we win. Can we sue the course? Can we sue the organizers of the tournament?
Or let's say we get second place and the winners, we find out, you know, we're 38 under.
Yeah.
And they have illegal grips on their clubs or they have 15 clubs in the bag. Like, is there a case there for us to get paid out for first place? Mm-hmm.
Fraud.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Could be fraud.
Could be. When are we gonna have Russell on? Because a lot of burning questions.
Full swing golf season. Like, we'll right in the middle, smack dab. It'll be gorgeous. Because we got to get him on the course when he's here.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll figure out. We got a lot of time.
Okay.
Russ, hit us up whenever you want to come on. And I'm going to call you Russ the whole time, even though we've met once and we've for sure not on a first name basis. We're on a first name basis.
Well, that's just kind of the bond we have with them too. You guys are going to have to hold me back because I'm going to want to ask every question at one time.
True. There's going to have to be a Ryan guard.
Yeah. Yeah. I get one question. That's it. And then you can mute my mic.
You can get more than that. It's just, you got to space him out a little. Mm-hmm. You can't just bombard him.
Okay. That's fair.
Ryan's going to be like that. The shitty best man speech joke. You're like, well, I was told to keep it short, so here we go. And then he drops the list and it's like hanging to the floor.
Yeah. So what's the joke about lasting as long as the speech?
Oh, yeah. I was told that a good best man speech should last as long as the groom does in bed. So thank you, everybody, for your time.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Classic. Really makes the grandparents, their eyes roll back.
Okay, great, great segue, Tyler. Speaking of best man speeches, how'd it go this last weekend?
Good, good. I did get compliments on my speech.
Did you?
I did.
It's always a good feeling.
Saw the groom and the bride shed a couple tears.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. Did a classic joke at the beginning.
Let's hear it.
Pretty nervous, so I asked the groom for some advice. He told me to just imagine everybody naked. So just give me a second. I close my eyes. I just open them like, ugh. And then looked at the groom like, it's not that fucking cold in here.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
What if you opened your eyes and everyone was naked?
Well, so that'd be a baller move to pull on prank the best man in his speech. Uh-huh. The original of that joke is to say bridesmaids looking good, but I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Was your wife a bridesmaid?
Yeah.
Okay. Bridesmaid looking good.
Yeah. Single bridesmaid one. Just one of you looks good. The rest of you.
Ugh. That one right there. So everything went good.
Yeah, it went great.
You
drank too much.
Yeah. Sounds like Max Homa.
Yeah.
You see what he said? I mean, he called that he was going to get shit faced after he was done playing the Masters.
Is he still drinking then?
I don't know.
We're only a day and a half removed.
I don't know. He said, like, I haven't drank in a while, but like tonight is going to be the
night. Are we sure he didn't get shit faced after hole nine on Sunday?
Yeah, for real.
Because homeboy fell off.
I personally love Max Homa.
Me too. I was really rooting for him.
He's an LA boy. He's a California boy. So you always wonder, like, what's their personality going to be? Like, are they going to be the classic, like, you know, LA California boy? But I don't think he's like that at all. Granted, yeah. California, you can be mountainous or it can be city life.
It is a big state.
Very big state.
I'll get you his hometown here.
But he's imagine if Scottie Scheffler had the personality of Max Homa.
Mm-hmm. And he's already likable just because he's so good at golf, but he'd be the most likable person in the entire sport.
Yeah, people keep saying how boring Scotty is. It's like, I don't really understand.
He's pretty boring.
It's because he's good.
Yeah.
Well,
but like, there's good guys that aren't boring.
Yeah.
But I can understand if people think he's boring. However, he's like interesting in his own way because he's like kind of cut from a different cloth.
He's interesting. The only entertaining quality about Scotty is how fucking good he is at golf. Like, nothing about him in his life and like anything he's doing is like, that's entertaining.
That's true.
Yeah, it's fair.
But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. Like, he's a phenomenal golfer, and that in its own right is super fun to watch. Like, he's so stupid good.
Like, you don't see anything about him online besides just golf.
Yeah, and that, honestly.
Yeah, he's not getting into trouble.
That's fine.
Which is good, but it's also like you're not doing anything to like promote yourself or like show other people your abilities.
For sure. Like, if John Daly had the career he had, but the personality of Scottie Scheffler, John Daly would not be close to what he is today. Yeah. But speaking about how good Scottie Scheffler is, I had to screenshot this morning. This is a comparison of Scottie Scheffler to Tiger Woods, because naturally, like, the best player in golf, you're always going to get the Tiger Woods comparison. Anthony Kim was supposed to be the next Tiger Woods. Tom Kim is supposed to be the next Tiger Woods.
Okay, quick before you get into this, talking about the entertaining thing, think about Tiger, right? Like, even before all of this shit came out about him and his mistresses and whatnot, Tiger was still so much more entertaining than Scotty. Just his personality. Like, he had fire on the golf course.
Yeah.
Like, his interviews were electric. Like, all that shit.
Do you? I mean, he was on a different level.
Right. And that's I'm just trying to make the, I don't want it to sound like I'm shitting on Scotty. I just want to explain more what my argument is or what my thoughts are.
Yep.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. I mean, both of them were hot right out of the gate too, which I think makes the comparisons a lot easier. Right.
Yeah.
Like, they both have seen a lot of success at a very young age.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's, I mean, that helps the comparisons.
Tyler, we forget.
You can call me Tiger.
We forget that. I would say we witnessed the start of Scottie Scheffler's tear.
Yep.
And that was the last round of the Ryder Cup. It was the Sunday round Ryder Cup 2021. Him beating Jon Rahm by 4 strokes.
Yep. Whooped his ass up and down the course.
Jeez.
We were either on 15 or 16.
We were on 15.
Okay. So beat him by 4 strokes, and that was that. USA took home the title.
I mean, if you guys were on 15, that literally is like one hole past where he, like, that's where it began.
Yeah.
The hole. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we saw him again at his first solo win at Waste Management.
Yes,
he wasn't in the Sahith Theegala was leading when we were there.
Yep.
But that was Scotty's first, not his first ever, but his first when we all knew the name.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. When the uprise started.
I think that started like a streak of like 4 wins in a row or some shit that he played in.
Yeah, but he's good. Mm-hmm. He'd probably be great. Now, everyone sees stats about how good Tiger, like, everyone knows Tiger Woods is really good.
But once a week, some random stat about Tiger goes mega viral.
Yes.
And it's like, I've never fact checked a single one. I just assume they're all correct.
I would think they are.
I hope. Because
you can
not
fact check that easily.
I don't want to, though, because I want it to just live in my head as truth.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Here's one for you. For Scottie Scheffler to catch Tiger's total weeks spent at world number one, he will need to be at the top every week for 12 years and 3 months.
Jesus Christ.
That's insane.
12 years and 3 months.
Well, yeah. But Tiger was number one when he was like 20 years old. So,
dude, that is in, because Scotty's been number one for like almost, I think, a year now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Took it from John Rahm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is insane if you think about it. Like, some people's golf career doesn't even last 12 years. They don't even keep their tour card for 12 years.
Yeah. Well, Scotty hasn't had his tour card for 12 years, so.
No,
I mean, who knows? He's for sure going to be playing golf for the next 12 years on the PGA.
Oh, definitely.
He's not going anywhere.
No, got
it. So, like, he has the opportunity to do this. Will he do it? I doubt it highly. I don't think anyone will do it ever again.
Yeah.
He's already got 2 years under his belt on the nose. He became world ranked number one after April 10th in 2022. After his first Masters win, that's when he became number one. So, 2 years on the nose.
But didn't John Rahm take over world number one after he won the Masters last year?
Yeah, maybe. That's just when he started. So he's probably, right. He's got exactly one.
And Rahm's going to continue to drop because he's only playing majors now. Mm-hmm. He's obviously on LIV.
Can he even be part of the rankings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he'll have his points from the majors. Mm. And then other guys in the PGA will just keep passing him because they're playing more tournaments.
Yep.
I thought it was a really good Masters. Obviously, they're just,
it reminded me, it mirrored Scotty's first Masters win.
For sure.
So much. Like, going into Sunday, it was Cam Smith and Scotty at the top. Very, very close. And Scotty inched away a little bit on the front nine. I'm like, I want Cam to catch up. And not because I wanted him to win, but because I wanted an electric finish at the Masters.
Yeah.
And the exact same thing happened this year. Like, Ludwig... Is it Oberg? Because the announcers were saying Oberg.
Well, it's pronounced Oberg. It's A-B-E-R-G, but I believe there's two little dots.
Yeah, I don't know what those are called.
His name.
Accent marks.
Also,
not accent marks.
Accent marks would be
an umlaut. Umlaut, yeah, I think.
Something like that. Umlaut is the two dots. The in Oberg's name is A with a little circle on top.
Okay,
no,
so
it's not. It's two dots.
It's two dots.
I think it's a circle, Jake. I think you're right.
It's two dots.
I think it is. It's a
two dots.
It's a circle, guys.
It's not. Yeah. It's two dots. I saw it all weekend. I watched his name all week.
Jake's got it right there.
Yeah, it's a circle. Yeah,
I'm going to do my own Google.
You're right, Jake.
It's the Swedish, I forget what it's called.
Okay, we'll wait for the Google to pop up. Yeah. You're right, though, Jake.
And umlaut is a U with two dots above it.
Okay. Anyone get it yet? Trevor's confirmed.
It is a circle.
That's not what they had on the Masters scoreboard.
I'm trying to find the Masters scoreboard right now. Also, when they did an interview with, I've never heard him do an interview before. The guy speaks perfect English.
Yeah.
But with the name of Ludwig Oberg, you'd think, give me a little bit of an accent. He's got perfect English. I really like that guy too.
They had nothing over it on their scoreboard.
No,
it was his first major, I think.
Yeah, it was. Because he got his start really in the Ryder Cup last year. He was the random guy that everyone was like, who is this dude on Team Europe? But yeah, the whole time I was waiting. He's the only one that pressured him towards the end, but really not at all.
Yeah.
But it was like Homa caught up. I think Homa shared the lead even for a little bit.
He did.
And then fell apart. Morikawa got really close. I think he was within one and then fell apart.
Put one in the water. Yep.
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 And then Oberg. He was the only one that didn't fall apart. Scotty just played out of his fucking mind to spread the gap.
I thought he was about to. What was it? Hole 15 on Sunday. Oberg put one in the water. Maybe it was hole 14 and then ended up saving par on that. Is that what it was? Yeah. Crazy. Crazy to be able to do that.
So it was just very reminiscent of his first Masters. Like Cam Smith started to catch up and Scotty was like, foot on the gas, baby. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And he had some stupid fucking shots. Shots.
I mean, have you guys ever
15 or 16 on Sunday, that like approach shot where he stuck it directly next to the pin with about like 12 feet of backspin?
It rolled all the way back and it was tracking right at the hole and took a quick little left turn and
should have went in.
You're right.
Threw up my mouth a little bit.
That shot was disgusting.
missed it by an inch and a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, as a complete casual, I want to say that because, you know, Scotty's wife can go into labor at any time.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't have a lot on his mind other than like worrying about his wife mm-hmm. and like if he's going to have to get to the hospital. Imagine on hole 17, if he gets like, I don't know who, how he would get a call, but I'm assuming someone from the Masters would get a call and they'd come.
Well, he probably, every golfer has their little entourage that's allowed to walk within inside the ropes. I don't know. Maybe the Masters might be the one tournament where they don't.
Yeah.
But I'm sure one of them had their phones.
Imagine if he had to withdraw on number 17. Because he would have.
So there's no shot. No,
he would have for sure.
No chance. So
he would have.
If it was on the front nine, maybe. If he's past hole 15, he's not withdrawing.
I don't think he's leaving if he has the lead on Sunday at all.
He said he would. Oh, he said he would.
Sure, dude.
You always say that, though.
But look at that. That's why he's boring, is because he golf to him is just it's just a job. He like everything is about
pretty nice
the
job
Lord and his wife and like his future family. Like he did. I don't really even think golf is definitely not first on his priority list.
Oh, he said, correct. I don't know. I saw a quote that he said that after his child was born, that golf would become the number four thing on his priority list, mm-hmm. which is, yeah, I mean, that
behind that's his disgusting. Wife, his kid, Legos, and then golf. He seems like a Legos guy. I have no facts to back that up. He just seems like he's really into them.
We'll send him a Legos PR package.
I would love to see like what his home life is like.
Yeah, but I would be willing to bet all the money I have that after hole 15, if he'd have got that call, he'd have finished it. He'd have finished it and sprinted off of the 18 green. Mm-hmm. He'd have skipped the jacket ceremony. He'd have gone straight to his wife. But if there's no fucking
way. Can you skip the jacket ceremony, though?
I mean, it's his buddy doing the presentation. I don't think Rom's going to hold it against him.
Yeah.
But then you don't get the iconic photo.
Caddy stays there for it. He comes back the next day.
Caddy takes it, yeah.
Yeah. There's just no way.
We should put the question in the Spotify episode. So if you guys are on Spotify, go like click into this episode. There'll be a question box at the bottom. We'll use hole 15.
Okay.
If Scotty gets the call that his wife is going into labor on Sunday, hole 15, mm-hmm. is he leaving? Is he staying? I'm saying he's leaving.
I think he stays.
Stays.
I mean, honestly, think about it. My wife, if for whatever reason, I am now an amazing golfer and I'm on the PGA Tour and I'm going to win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts unless I have a complete, total, utter collapse.
First kid, though.
She would be so mad if I skipped with three holes left.
I was going to realize there's a $3 million difference.
Yeah, right if there. You withdraw, yeah. you get zero.
He's already made.
Yeah, I don't think the money is an 16, issue.
He's already made $16 million this
year. Any other tournament, but it's the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
My wife would be so fucking mad at me. Like, he's not going to miss the birth. He's just going to miss the first parts of labor unless she delivers extremely fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's three holes left.
You would think about that around the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think he's already won the Masters. Now, if he hadn't won the Masters before, it may be a different story, but he's already won the green jacket.
I still think he stays, dude. Mm-hmm. And I think his wife getting and understanding the passion and the love for golf and what the Masters means
also,
in
it's
general.
Only three holes. You can play three holes really fucking quick, dude.
Yeah. Maybe the group in front of him let him play through.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can play three holes pretty fucking quick and be like, yeah, I'll be there in a second.
I just can't get on board with it.
All right.
I think he's leaving.
I'm staunchly against that. I mean, I'm anytime before that, I think he goes. I really do.
Okay. Let's hear from the listeners. What do you guys think? Would he stay? Would he stay? Would he go?
A lot of like this whole weekend, there was not a lot of, you know how most tournaments, there's a lot of shit going on just around the tournament. You know, there's some sort of drama leading into it. There's some sort
tree
of
falls
you know,
down.
Tree falls down, all that thing. Mm-hmm. There was a surprising lack of any of that thing going on, which was kind of nice.
The only dramatic thing was during the par three competition, the one announcer calling Scottie Scheffler's sister a little fat on accident. She hit a shot a little fat. And he's like, not her. Obviously, she's very skinny.
Yeah, the shot, not her.
I did hear that.
It was funny as shit.
Did he get booted?
No, he was, I mean, he, it just out of context.
Yeah.
Like, She hits the shot. She duffs it. And he's like, oh, is Katie Scheffler a little fat? And he's like, no, not her. The shot. She's obviously very skinny.
Dude, and the amount of derogatory and like sexual innuendos in the game of golf, just like describing the game of golf, it's actually insane.
It's also like, you're right. It's almost a miracle that that doesn't happen more often.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, it does, but none of us think about it when it's the regular golf, like Scottie Scheffler, it's a shot. Scottie Scheffler, a little fat on that one, going to be short of the hole. Yeah. And nobody blinks an eye, but because it's Katie, someone that we don't know, random girl, then he realized what he had said.
Yeah, definitely.
Like if you would have said the same thing about anyone that was actually on tour in the middle of the Masters, he wouldn't have blinked an eye.
Yeah.
But it was just funny, his panic in his voice.
The panic immediately is.
Oh, I mean, because think about like
getting canceled.
And imagine being like we talked about last week, being the alternate commentators holed up in a hotel room somewhere in Augusta.
He's just like, here's my shot.
You're like sitting by your phone, like, okay, this thing's got to be ringing here in a second. We got to be getting that phone call.
That dude, the alternate was probably so fucking excited.
Oh,
when he heard that, he was like, let's fucking go.
Probably doesn't get paid unless, I mean, he probably gets like a daily stipend just to be there, but he probably doesn't get paid unless he's on air.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, here's... here's $50 what are they called? Per diem.
You know?
Here's $50 per diem. Go get some Cold Stone or something. Have a good day.
Yeah. No, that would be good.
What was the tee thing Morikawa did? I loved that.
Oh, because I didn't know who was out, so they just flipped it to decide who goes first.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of sick.
Like the height of the Masters.
Yep.
One and two at the time. They're just like, we're not going to sit here and bicker. Patrick Cantlay would have got out a fucking tape measure to figure out who was out.
They were in the fairway or?
So they were both, I think they were both on the fringe on opposite sides. They couldn't tell who was out. So who was going to go first?
Okay.
So Morikawa just did a T flip, landed on himself. So he went first.
Interesting.
And instead, because
I love that.
Yeah, me too. Most people in that situation are stepping it off.
Yeah.
Getting real technical about it. And they're just like, we don't care.
Yeah.
He tweeted something on, I think it was the just after the round or the next day. He said, a few things I learned from this week of the Masters. One, don't hit into water on 11. Two, get better at tee flips so I go second.
That's good. I like that. And it also just brings them closer to the casuals.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
like everyone's always like, he's one of us. Mm-hmm. Like when someone hits a shit shot or whatever, they're always trying to get narrow the gap between the professionals and the casuals. And that was one thing that definitely did that.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys by chance see the guy who his whole shtick on TikTok is, it's day 87 of me trying to play Augusta National.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. So there's this guy who was doing that. I've been following him for a little bit. And this last week he announced on his socials, he was like, hey, I've got tickets. A member invited me to Augusta. So I'm going out with this member and whatever. And I was like, oh fuck, that's really cool that this guy gets to go out there. Well, he then told the flip side of the story that he showed up to Augusta National. He had bought a hotel. He had paid this guy all these tickets. And he had, in the end, spent like probably $8,000 to $10,000 on this whole trip. And he got scammed for every fucking
dollar
that he spent. So this guy, the person who reached out to him saying, hey, I've got an extra ticket, was claiming to be a member. And this member said, hey, I've got these tickets. Something's come up. I was going to give them to you for free, but I'm going to need you to just cover the cost of them right now. And so the guy, the TikToker paid. And then pretty soon the member texts him again and says, hey, actually all the members, we get a free bag when the Masters tournament happens. If you want the bag, the golf bag, it's going to be $800. And so then the TikToker then, whatever.
This is on the TikToker at this point.
And then all of a sudden the next thing you know, not only...
And if he's going with a member, they have money. They're a member at Augusta National.
There should have been lots of red flags at this point.
But it keeps going.
Oh, my God.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a $1,500 swag bag. Now, all of a sudden, the member can't pay for the hotel room. Now, he's got to pay for it. Now, the TikToker
he's
has
a member.
To pay
you
for
should
a
have
hotel
a, shouldn't he have a place in? Again, yeah.
There's only five cabins, and I don't know how they get divvy those out. But
shouldn't he live near Augusta,
though? No, but shouldn't he live near the... Yeah.
Yeah. The TikToker said that he had never met the member face to face or anything like that. And I mean, hindsight 2020, obviously the scam red flags or the red lights are blinking like crazy that the member had his cousin reach out to the TikToker, and the member had his wife reach out to the TikToker, and all air quotes around all those things. But yeah, fucking crazy story. I feel really bad. I'll have to send you guys the TikTok
that is
or whatever.
Wild.
I feel bad for the guy on the initial scam. After he starts asking for all these different payments, come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's not all the members are getting a free golf bag with their name embroidered into the side of it for the Masters tournament.
Like, you just telling me that story, there was plenty of red flags where I'm like, all right, I'm going to need some fucking proof, buddy.
Yeah.
Or like get the guy on the phone.
The member was calling the TikToker over and over again. And the TikToker said, you know, I would have had red flags had this been all over text messages. Like, I would have saw it coming, but these were like middle-aged sounding men from the American South and I heard, you know, their voices and all of that stuff. And it all sounded legit to him, I guess, but
interesting.
That blows.
Sucks.
If you have the opportunity of playing Augusta, you're going to get delusional and probably think everything's
probably
true.
A little bit deer in the headlights for sure.
Yeah. I do also like, I mean, I've heard the term before. The quickest way to never play Augusta is to tell somebody that you want to play Augusta. And so
I don't want to play Augusta at all.
Well, we have Georgia National on the simulator. So it's,
I would never want to play there.
Yeah. It probably sucks.
Yeah. Probably the worst course ever.
Yeah. And like within like a month or two of him doing this series, you could call it, the fact that a member reached out and just offered to have him down for Masters Week and that. Yeah. And the fact, he didn't think he was going to play this week.
Just thought he was going.
Another thing. He just thought that he was going to the Masters. He didn't think that he was going to play this week, but the member did tell him, hey, man, the tee time I got for us is in September. Well, the TikToker never looked it up, but Augusta National is closed down in September, like for course repairs and all that stuff.
You got to send me this.
You got to do your own research, my guy.
I'll show you guys a TikTok during the break. You guys can watch it and all that stuff. But
yeah,
that's a tough look.
So my best round ever is an 83. Ryan's best round ever is 77.
Yep.
Tiger Woods shot an 82.
Victor Hovland shot an 81.
Oh, man, dude. Yep. Victor, what a fucking... He blue-balled the shit out of me.
He did.
He played so good.
End of last year, he was
10 holes.
Mm-hmm.
He was like... I think he had the lead after hole 9. And then he fell apart a little bit to end his day 1. And then day 2 just played like ass. Tiger gets more of an excuse though because he's old and he has like 55 joints fused together.
Yeah. And I mean, then that's golf too, right? You look at my round last weekend, played first round outside Saturday, played with Miles. One of the biggest mental breakdowns I've ever seen a person go through on the golf course. Now I get it, cause I've been in that situation where he's been hitting thousands of golf balls in the simulator. Mm-hmm. His swing looks really good. He's hitting it really good on the sim. But as much as I would want to tell him, like, hey, it's just like taking BP in baseball. Like, you got your batting practice all-stars and those same guys will hop into a game and the mindset and everything completely changes. So he played really well through 7 holes, and this is a tough course. He was 1 over through 7, and I think he ended up shooting 20 over.
Oof.
Jeez.
So
oof.
It was, the last, 11 holes, he was 19 over.
Oh.
So
that's tough. That's demoralizing as fuck.
Yeah, it really is, because you're like, what happened?
Yeah,
like I was hitting it well in the sim. Again, you're hitting off turf, you're hitting into a net or a screen. It's like it's so different. So I first round of the year for me went. Well, we'll talk about that second segment.
Okay.
I did want to. You talked about like there wasn't a lot of like shit outside of the tournament happening. A couple things that stood out to me. Number one, I hope Tiger relieved himself because for the round the weekend, the 4 days that he had,
that kind of
he's got to start
Homie's fucking again.
He's got to start again. Because obviously that didn't work. Number two, did you guys see him pretty much knock a patron out with one of his shots?
No.
Mm-hmm. So did Tiger knock and because I saw a video of it. There's not a whole lot of video surfacing, but he hit a shot from like in the trees or I can't remember from where, but it went into the crowd.
And the gallery.
And it fucking knocked somebody out cold, I think. So there's that going. And then number three, Zach Johnson. Did you guys see what he did?
Mm-mm.
He got chirped when he putted, didn't he?
Yes. And he said, fuck off.
Yeah.
Now, everyone thinks that he said that to a patron because they were chirping him. Again, it's the same waste management situation all over again.
Yep.
In his post-round interview, he's like, that's not the case at all. I was talking to my golf ball because I think he maybe just like double bogeyed or something like that. But the man cannot control his anger.
No.
Mm-mm. I guarantee that. I mean, okay, I'll guarantee again as a casual that it was at a patron because we've seen it before. We saw it at Waste Management. He claims like I can't even hear the patrons.
I don't know.
Like,
I tell my ball to fuck off quite a bit.
I was gonna say, yeah. I've been pretty guilty of with the
track record that he has, it's okay, he might have been talking the ball, but it's hard for us casuals to now believe that.
When you just want some nice drama, when you just want somebody to just act like not a professional golfer a little bit. It's kind of what you lean into.
Just chirp.
He's your guy, too. He's your guy to, I mean,
I think this, I believe the golf ball thing. I mean, I have said some disgusting things to my golf ball.
For sure.
When it doesn't do what I want it to do.
For sure.
Like, if you were to take the things I said to my golf ball, when it doesn't go in the hole like it should, I would be canceled so fast.
For sure.
And I think that's everyone's doing that.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, we're just gonna beep this out if it ever makes it into a reel. We could beep it out right now. But my go-to line is "you dirty bitch of a ball."
Okay, mine's just along those lines too, Jake. You can beep this out, but "you dirty whore."
Yep. Go home. Pretty fucking. Jesus.
After that report came out, LIV Golf is reportedly offering Zach Johnson a deal worth around $32,000. A LIV spokesperson said this would be significantly more than he's earning at the PGA with how he's playing. We'd love to have him. He'd be a great hall monitor at our headquarters.
Oh, this is a PGA tour.
Yeah, this is just a meme. But I thought it was hilarious because it's got like the image of him saying fuck off to the golf ball. LIV Golf reportedly offering ZJ around $32,000. To get $32,000 from LIV is like the Saudi Arabians can find that in their
couch cushions.
Yeah, underneath the fucking seat in their Maserati, you know. So that was a good one. On top of that, this report comes from City AM, which is London's most read financial paper. That LIV is reportedly offering Rory McIlroy close to $850 million plus.
I saw that.
And ownership in the league.
Mm-hmm.
If they get Rory, it's over. They win. He's been the most outspoken against it. Like John Rahm was a huge get, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get Rory, it's over. They are the league now.
It's almost like Team Europe versus USA at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of. And then like, what if they don't let LIV players into the Ryder Cup? They lose John Rahm. They lose Rory. They lose Tyrrell Hatton. Sergio Garcia. The list goes on.
That's about it.
So $850 million plus, and that's why that's a huge reason Rory's been playing like shit comparatively speaking. Mm-hmm. He's been trying to like mediate this whole thing the entire time. He's a sacrificial lamb, mm-hmm. as he said in Full Swing.
Yep. And honestly, like even if they got Scotty, I don't think it would be over. But if they get the spokesperson,
correct,
it's done.
I agree. In $850 million, when you know that the merger's coming, it's going to be official. I don't know when, but I would assume eventually. It would be hard after all that news and after the shit that he's been through to not take that money.
Damn.
You could set up the 10 generations behind you with that money.
Yeah. That's a bag.
Yes. So
I would do a lot of bad things for $850 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too.
All right. Should we take a break?
Take a quick break. Be right back. All right. We're back. First round of the year. Over.
Done.
Felt good though.
You'll never get your first round again this year.
No, no. It honestly felt really good. And I was telling you yesterday, Tyler, I'm just having more fun with golf.
Mm-hmm.
My swing is my swing. I'll maybe make a little couple tweaks here and there, but it's just not even worth getting, like, it's not even worth getting super upset over because of how casual we are about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, there's no prize money on the line. Our families are still going to love us if we shoot 98. There's just the grand scheme of things. The only thing that you're risking when you're out there is your own mental health. But if you go into it not giving a shit already, can't risk that either.
No, for sure. It's like, and there would be times where it would like ruin, it could potentially ruin a weekend if I played a bad round. Now, on the other side, I think the reason I was, and shot an 89 at a tough course.
Which probably feels good.
Also had a nine on a hole, par three, shot a nine. So to shoot an 89 with a nine on the scorecard and only one double bogey outside of that, I felt pretty good about it. Now, my counterpart on the other side of the cart from me, again, I get it. Like, Miles has been grinding. He's been grinding over the golf ball. And for...
like 1,000 balls a week minimum.
Correct. And for things to not go the way that he expected them to go against the expectations thing, you just can't have any.
Yeah.
It was a challenge, and I think I just had to be more positive, which probably didn't help anything also. It was a challenge to sit there and like wonder what I should say or what I shouldn't say. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine what he wanted to say to his bag of clubs or his golf ball during that round, specifically the back nine.
We talked about like the saying disgusting shit to your golf ball. You can always tell the mood someone is in by what they say to their golf ball after a bad shot.
Correct.
Like if they say something super ridiculous, then it's like, okay, they're just a little frustrated. And if it's just swear words, they're mad. And if it's pure silence, they are enraged.
It's delusion.
Well,
I even think like if it's pure swear words, it's honestly like, it's just, I just have to get this out of my system quick and then I can move on. Where if it's like little to no swear words, I think it's even worse.
Yeah,
because then it's like a legitimate like frustration and concern over that golf ball or that club or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or, the silence will carry on guaranteed
for sure.
The very next couple of holes.
For sure. Yes. Also like if they, instead of they miss a putt, the putt lips out and it's for double bogey. So they end up with triple or some shit and they're having a bad round already. They don't talk to their ball. They talk to themselves. And that's when you know they're down. Bad. What the fuck are you doing, Tyler? Come on, man.
When you start to blame yourself over the equipment,
yes,
you know that things are going south quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because there's three different pieces that you can blame that shot on that aren't yourself. One is the golf ball, two is the golf club, and three is the course itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what, you know,
how am I supposed to putt on these greens?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or like, and it's the classic too, like, dude, I had the line perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like you did, but you just didn't hit it hard enough, or you just hit it a little bit too hard.
Had the line. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Because having the line is also having the pace.
That's one of my favorite ways to chirp someone is if they're like, God, I had the line. I just hit it too soft. I'm like, did you have the line? Oh, we'll never know because it didn't go in.
We won't know. Unless, again, it's a classic, like, if you miss, like, say, a 12-foot putt, we're probably just going to, like that we can just like concede and like you can have wherever your next shot is, we'll just call it good.
Unless it's 9 feet still.
But sometimes the ball won't even reach the hole. You know it's not gonna go in, you pull that sucker back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why having a mallet's nice. With like the little slot in the bag, you just stop that baby, pull it right back, and then we can find the line out.
the classic Ryan move. As soon as he hits it off the club face, yank.
Pulls it back.
Just instant.
I've seen you pull putts back before they're done rolling. It's like you don't even know if it's going in. And be like, eh, fuck. That's not good enough.
Usually it's past the hole.
No. Yep. So I've seen you
pull. Some of them, it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Ryan, you're pretty quick to forget on the greens. And that's what I appreciate about you is that, like, sometimes you go golfing with a guy who's bad on the greens, and then they, like, have to wait around on the tee box a little bit to figure out their head before the next shot. Yeah, before they hit their next shot.
I also just, I never practice putting. So, again, how, like, I get it. If you practice your irons and driver and things aren't going well, like, then you can let it linger. But if you don't practice putting, how can you be mad that you're not putting great?
Yeah.
It's like, what's the correlation here? You know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certain players that I've heard say some nasty things to a golf ball. Imagine like, imagine saying that to your wife or somebody or to a buddy.
If our wives could hear the things we say to our golf balls, not even if we were saying to them, that I think there'd be a higher divorce rate than the already super high one.
100%. Oh, not only are you out of the house for 4 to 5 hours, probably with kids at home screaming, but you're also talking to your wife or just anywhere in general, like you'd talk to your golf ball.
You know how
that would be the double whammy where you'd probably get kicked out of the house.
Oh yeah. Or even an accidental phone call, like your butt dial.
Yeah, you pocket dial your wife and then you miss a bad putt.
Yeah.
Or miss an easy putt.
It would, I mean, it's not ideal by any circumstance.
Do you ever get so pissed you throw your golf ball away in the woods or water?
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never done that, no.
Really?
I'm a spaz about finding golf balls. I'll never purposely toss one in the woods unless it's broken. Oh,
no. Yeah. If I'm super pissed off, that sumbitch is going to the water.
This release of anger is throwing it. Just nice.
Yep, because I'm not a club
club tosser, not thrower.
I'm not a club thrower. I'm a club flipper.
Yep.
So I'll underhand spin it 10, 15 yards in front of me just because I think I'd rather there be some blunt force trauma taken out on the golf club than to like a golf cart tire or my bag or something like that.
Yeah. I've
like
seen
people who hit their bags are insane.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Imagine the club
on the PGA, like especially if you don't have like a leather bag. Leather bags are a little bit more sturdy than like the nylon bags. If you're hitting a nylon bag with your club, you are insane.
The Kevin Na, putt, bag smashing thing.
Oh yeah,
I played around with a friend of mine who is a club breaker.
Oh my god,
jeez,
what a waste of fucking money.
Yeah, the biggest waste of money whatsoever. And then we played later on again that summer, and he was like, yeah, man, I don't have a putter. So.
Whose fault is that?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you broke your putter.
We talked about this on You Bet Your Radio, but hole 18, okay, we're almost done here. Hole 18, second shot, Miles pulls a hybrid out, tops it 40 yards. And back-to-back club slams on the ground. You could feel the ground shake underneath the golf cart after those club slams.
I mean, club slams are better than club throws, in my opinion.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Yeah, because
100%
like,
agree.
Yeah. The whole walk of shame to go pick up your club after you throw it 40 yards is way more embarrassing than the bad shot you just hit.
Yeah, because you have to walk away from the cart, and then your cart partner has to come get you. Or like they have to just drive up to you so you can grab a new club at your next shot.
Especially in a guy walking around to go pick up a club draws eyeballs too. So then people are going to see you. They know you just threw your club. They know you just spazzed out.
Yes. It's embarrassing, really. But you're always going to get golf will bring out the worst in people.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. Like you can cause damage to pretty much everything on a golf course except for your golf ball. Like as much as you want to get pissed at the golf ball, you can't really like cause damage to it.
Yeah.
Like you can throw it in the woods. Okay, sweet. Every fucking golf ball has seen the woods. You can throw it in the water. All right, sweet. I'm just going to float down to the bottom. But you can't like break it in half or shatter it, whatever.
For sure not stronger than the club hitting it at 100 miles an hour.
For sure. Yeah.
Just keep willing it out of a tree, I guess. But that's
yeah.
the only way.
Yeah, next round, I'm going to bring a pair of pocket loppers and then just slice it right down the middle.
That's not a bad idea. And
you pull them out. Yeah. Everyone's like, what the fuck is he doing?
What the hell?
You know, okay, here's a good solution. If you're pissed off at your golf ball, bring a slicer with. Slice that baby right down the middle and then go skip it on one of the ponds. Because you want to go from one of the worst mental states to one of the best mental states is if you get that half golf ball to skip across that pond, you're going to be a new man.
Oh, here's absolutely. A better you're gonna
be idea. Good.
Don't cut it in half. Give me the golf ball. Then you yep. think that I have all the bad luck and I get a new ball.
That's very true as well. Yeah. Very true as well.
It's not a bad idea. Or hear me out, industrial strength hard boiled egg slicer with the 8 little panels on the inside and just slice it into different ways.
Okay.
That'll
work.
You could put it underneath the tire of your golf cart, but again, it's not going to do anything. Nope. It might scuff it up a little bit. So I think people should quit cussing out their golf balls. They should start just cussing out their clubs, or they should start cussing out the greens or the fairways or whatever it may be. I mean, for us, the golf ball is not going to make that big of a difference compared to the club or the course.
Or 100%.
Or yourself.
You yourself. I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to.
My own worst enemy.
It's not your ball's fault that you missed the putt. It's probably your mind's fault that you missed the putt.
Just scream into the void. It won't answer, but you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You ever, you've seen the bogey bags?
Oh, yeah. The punching bag?
Yeah.
Yep.
Another good option.
Yeah.
No one's hanging pillows from their golf bags so you can scream into a pillow afterwards.
Yeah. Instead of a golf towel, we should have a pillow hanging there so you can just put your face into it and yell as loud as you want.
Or you can just start punching it too.
Yeah.
Do a couple of those.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, remember when you're like 14, dad won't let you go to a party or dad won't let you go do this. You run into your room and you just fucking let it all out into a pillow. Feels real good.
Feels really good.
Mm-hmm. After you slam the door shut.
Yeah. Golfers need to be bringing pillows onto the course for sure.
That's a great video. Like the strap that you secure your golf bag with on the cart.
Yeah.
You should just throw a pillow inside of there. Strap the pillow to the bag, to the cart. And then, I mean, you can throw fucking right hooks. You can throw right uppercuts. You can smash your head into it. Mm-hmm. Maybe put one a little bit down lower too, so you can throw some calf kicks at it.
Yeah, and then if you guys are having a great time out there, you could end your round with a pillow fight.
That did cross my mind. Yeah, that did cry. Like, hey, if you and the Bevcar girl are hitting it off, like you guys could offer a pillow fight.
I think that would definitely seal the deal. Trevor, put that in your back pocket.
Writing that down right now.
Or, I mean, if things really go south and you're just fucking over it, you take the pillowcase off, you fill it with golf balls, and then you hand it to your buddy and say, let me have it.
Jesus.
Let me have it.
Yeah. I thought you were just going to take a nap.
The prison soap beating.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Just bring a tube sock with.
Yeah, fucking D-cell battery move in the pillowcase. That's an option too.
Yeah, speed bag.
But then your golf ball is kicking the shit out of you and you not kicking the shit out of your golf ball. So plenty of ways to let anger out. You just have to find the right way. I think a lot of you just haven't found the right way to let your anger out on the course.
So experiment this year. Mess around with a few things.
The pillow is a great option.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's got to be, it can't be like, a feather filled pillow. It's going to compress a little bit too much. It might even break. You just got to find the right pillow for
maybe
you.
Maybe want memory foam or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A purple mattress pillow or something.
Yeah, Casper pillow.
Yeah, or my pillow. I think they're going out of business or something.
Yeah.
Mike Lindell, he should start making golf bag pillows.
That's exactly what he should be doing. Real pivot the business into something more profitable.
Yeah. You know what would be a funny prank is if you just started like ratchet strapping pillows to like trees close to some greens. And so like when you're walking back to the car, you can just fucking let the pillow have it with your golf club.
Jake,
sick would that be? Yeah. So plenty of options to let the anger out on the course. First round of the year, I don't think there's really too much to get angry about. Again, we're hitting off grass. There's wind, there's water. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah. Can't get your expectations too high.
No perfect lies every time.
No perfect lies, dude. Up, uphill, downhill, left. It's just fucking relax out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking more so to myself.
It's all to Al.
I'm doing a good job at it, though.
Me and Al are going out this weekend for the first round, so it's all to Al.
Let's go. All right. That's all I got. Anything else on the Masters? Anything like that?
That's all we got. Nope.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. Appreciate you all. Love you.
Love you.
They piped that the wrong f***ing way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.